Okay, lesson 27. We're going to learn about questions. So it's headed tis, meaning who, and ti, meaning what or why. So section one, we have the list of words, many of them having to do with questions. So firstly, tis, who or which. This would be masculine or feminine. It's not distinguished by gender. So tis. It's what we call the interrogative pronoun. And then te is the neuter, so what or why. So if you're asking about a person, you would say tis. If you're asking about a thing, you would say te. And then the question itself is indicated by the semicolon. That's the equivalent of our question mark. Dia te can also mean why, so for what reason. Dia is through or on account of or various things like that. So dia te. The interrogative pronoun, it declines for case. So you can have it in the nominative, the accusative, the genitive, and the dative, and then singular or plural. Pote, meaning when. And then pote elucitai. Pote elucitai, when will he come? Elucitai being the plural, the future of erchomai. Pos, how or how is that? Pos leges, for example, pos leges, how is it that you say? Which is what the Jewish leaders several times asked Jesus in the Gospels, sort of asking about his authority. Pu is where? For example, Pumenes, where are you staying? Pothen, where from? Or how? Or if you still use the old English word whence, from where? So for example, Pothen Urketai. Pothen Urketai, where does he come from? And Pothen Meganoskes, how do you know me? Apokrinomai, I answer, I reply, I respond. And we've seen this often in the form apokrithe. Apokrithe, he answered. Which is in the aorist. So we have, in that case, an abbreviated stem and an epsilon in front of the stem, indicating past tense and completed action. And apokrithes is the aorist participle. So apokrithe is the aorist indicative, third person singular. Apokrithes, the aorist participle. So indicating, both of them indicating completed action. And apokrithes, answering or replying, and then you'd expect there to be a verb, as we've usually seen, something like lege or something like that. Oida, I know. And we're going to find this is a rather irregular verb. Oida, I know. And oiden is third person singular, he knows, and you have to be careful to distinguish this from aiden, he saw. It's easy to confuse those two, oiden and aiden. Dunamai, I am able to, and dunatai, he is able to, so that's the third singular, dunatai, dunantai. They are able, or they can do something. And with dunamai, we expect a complementary infinitive. So expect that you're able to do something. So for example, dunatai lalain. Dunatai lalain. Lalain there is a complementary infinitive. So he is able to speak. Dunamai, it's the noun is dunamis, meaning power. And we get our words like dynamite and dynamic, dynamo. So dunamai all has to do with to have the power to do something. Meno. Meno, I abide, I remain, I stay. And then meno with a circumflex over the omega, so changing the accent, meno is I will remain. That's the future tense there. Krino. Krino, I judge. Yeah, that's confusing, meno and meno. Have to be. It's one of the few instances where the accent actually matters for the meaning of the word. Krino, I judge. And here too, krino, same thing for the future. It's just a change of accent, circumflex over the omega. So krino, I will judge. And the one of the related nouns, hakrites, hakrites, the judge. And ude and mede, ude, mede, we've seen this before, meaning and not or nor. And which of those two you use depends upon, we've seen there are certain circumstances in which you use u, and other circumstances you use me. And then finally, hote, hote, meaning when. Okay, section two, we now see these words in use. Number one, te estin, uk oida te estin. Te estin, uk oida te estin. So te estin, question, what is it? And we translate that as what, because te there is the neuter. If it had been tis estin, we would translate that, who is it? Te estin, what is it? And the reply comes back, uk oida te estin. So oida, I know. So here negated, I don't know what it is. Number two, te poieses, u te ego thelo ala te su. Te poieses, u te ego thelo ala te su. So the question, te poieses, te there as the interrogative pronoun in the neuter, so we translate it as what, not as who. Poieses is in the future there, so there's a sigma after the stem, but there's no epsilon on the front. If there had been an epsilon on the front, we would expect to see an aorist. We just have the sigma at the end of the stem marking that out as future. Second person singular. So what will you, singular, do? And the reply comes back, u te ego thelo. So te ego thelo, I wish, or I want, and then te is what I want. So he's saying not that, ala te su, but what you. And in a case like that, we say that the verb is understood in the second, in the last phrase, the te su. So fully it would be te su thelo. But we don't strictly need the thelo there. Okay. Number three, tis estin kai pothen erketai, uk oidamen tis estin ude pothen erketai. Tis estin kai pothen erketai, uk oidamen tis estin ude pothen erketai. So now our question, tis estin, tis now translated as who, so it's masculine / feminine. Who is he, or who is she? And pothen, meaning from where, erketai, where does he come? So who is he and where does he come from? Or who is she and where does she come from? We'd use context to determine whether it's masculine or feminine. Reply comes back, uk oidamen, we do not know, tis estin, who he is, ude pothen erketai, or nor where he comes from. Number four, apon auto, tines asin, kai pu menusin, apokrithes apen moi, uk oida tines asin, ude pu menusin. Apon alto, tines asin, kai pu menusin, apokrithes, apen moi, uk oida, tines asin, ude pu menusin. So apon alto, I said to him, apon there, as the aorist, could be first singular or third plural. The context later on will tell us that it's first singular. Tines, asin, who are they? Tines is the plural, masculine slash feminine nominative plural. Tis asin, who are they? Kai pu menusin, where do they stay? Where are they staying? Menusin, we have a regular acute accent on the epsilon. So this is present tense. If it had been future, there would have been a circumflex over the omicron upsilon diphthong there. Apokrithes apen, so moi. Apokrithes, so that's our aorist participle. So replying or answering. And then apen is the verb, third singular aorist. He said to me, answering, he said to me, and we can choose better ways to translate that. We could just say he replied to me. Dobson's chosen to reply. In reply, he said to me, uk oida, I do not know. And then, essentially now repeats what was the question to now indicate what he doesn't know. I do not know who they are, nor where they are staying. Number five. Post dunatai satanas, satanan ek balain. Post dunatai satanas, satanan ek balain. Post dunatai, so post is how. Dunatai, to be able. So how is he able with satanas as subject? How is Satan able? And then we expect a complementary infinitive, that's ek balain. As the present infinitive, to throw out, to cast out, and satanan as the object, so to cast out Satan. How is Satan able to cast out Satan? Number six, u dunamai satanan ek balain. U dunamai satanan ek balain. U dunamai, I am not able. With ekbalain as the complementary infinitive. Now it's an aorist infinitive. So notice it's got a single lambda, so a shortened stem. Sentence 5 had the present infinitive. So I'm not able to cast out Satan. Number 7. Uk oidete pos krine tutus tus anthropus hokrates ude pote krine ekenus. Uk oidete pos krine tutus tus anthropus hokrates ude pote krine ekenus. Uk oidete, you do not know. Pos, meaning how. How, and then the subject is hokrates, coming at the end of that phrase. And krine as the verb. So you do not know how the judge judges tutus tus anthropus, these men, ude nor pote krine ekenus, nor when he will judge ekenus those. So we have the tutus tus anthropus, these, and the ekenus those. So it's what we call the near demonstrative and the far demonstrative. Number 8. Hate erketai ere autois, humes este hoi adelfoi mu. Hate erketai ere autois, humes este hoi adelfoi mu. Hate is when he comes And then ere as future. So here's a instance where we have an irregular, different future stem. He will say to them, humes este, so you are, where we have the humes for emphasis. Not strictly necessary because it's already encoded into the este, but added for emphasis, you are my brothers. Number 9, erotesen auton, pu esten ha pater su, ha de apokryphe, su uk oidas, pu esten ude pathen erketai, ala ego oida kai doxatso auton. Erotesen auton, pu esten ha pater su, ha de apokryphe, su uk oidas, pu esten ude pathen erketai, ala ego oida kai doxaso auton. Erotesen, he asked him, so in the aorist there, so past completed action. Pu estin ha pater su, pu is where, so where is your father? Ha de apokryphe, so apokryphe, he answered. Aorist there, so past completed action. Ha as the pronoun, just standing on its own, indicating he. So he answered, su uk oidas, so you do not know. And here we could sort of indicate that we have the su there sort of for emphasis at the beginning of the sentence. You do not know pu est and where he is, ude pothen erketai, nor where he comes from. But I, ala ego, so contrasting the su and the ego, ego oida, but I know, kai doxaso auton, and I will glorify him. Now here you have to remember that doxaso, the present tense would be doxatso, so the sigma there has actually been added onto the end of the stem. That indicates future tense. I will glorify him. And finally, number 10, erotesan autus legontes, pothen duneste tauta poien, apokrythesan un autois hoimathetai, ha kurios, ha pempsas, hemas ekenos poie tauta ta erga, kai metsona tuton, poiesi hina auton doxasite. Erotesan autus legontes, pothen duneste tauta poien, apokrythesan un autois hoi methetai, ha kurios, ha pempsas, hemas ekenos, poie tauta ta erga, kai mesona tuton, poiesi hina auton doxatsete. So, erotesan autus legontes. He asked them, and then legontes, participle saying. He asked them saying. So we could render that simply. Sorry, they asked. They asked them, saying, we could render that then simply, they asked them. Pothen dunaste tauta poien. So how are you able to do these things? So poien there, the complementary infinitive, completing the dunaste. Tauta is neuter plural, so these things. Apokrythesan un autois hoi methetai. So or therefore, the disciples apokrythesan answered. And here's what they say. Ha kurios, ha pempsas hemas, the Lord. And then ha pempsas hemas, the one who sent us. The pempsas there is an aorist participle. So the verb is pempo. In this case, a sigma has been added to the end of the stem. And gets the P and the sigma combined form C. So it's the one who has sent us, not the one sending us. He has sent us. Ekenos poie, he does, he's the one, Poye Tauta, who does, Tauta Ta Erga, does these works. Kai Maisona Tuton, greater than these. So Maison, greater than. Poye Se, he will do greater than these. Hina Auton Doxatsise, so that you may praise him.
So is the dunaste and the what form is that?
That is in the second person. So in page 153, we were just given first person singular and third person singular. Dunamai, dunatai. Dunaste is second person plural, and we also were given one of these sentences had the first plural. I think no. Can't remember if he gives us a full paradigm, but it's dunastai is second person plural of dunamai.
One question. So that verb doxazete.
It's doxazete is a subjunctive. How do we know it's a subjunctive? Eta. So there's an eta instead of an epsilon. So that lengthened vowel.
Okay.
And we would expect to find a subjunctive after the hina. The hina always takes a subjunctive. And then as for what tense, if it was future, the zeta would be a sigma.
Okay.
Like up in the end of sentence 9, doxaso is future tense,
okay.
I will glorify, and we can tell that from the sigma. So the present tense is doxazo with a zeta, and to get the future tense, we add a sigma to that. The zeta and the sigma combine to form a sigma, and that indicates future tense. Here, at the end of number 10, we have just the original present stem, doxats. Okay, so it would be second person plural present subjunctive.
And what's akenos?
Akenos. So akenos is a demonstrative pronoun. And you can think of it as ha kurios, ha pempsas hemas, the Lord, the one who has sent us. And then ekenos is pointing to ha kurios. So you think of it as the Lord, the one who has sent us, that one does these works. That one pointing to ha kurios, ha pempsas hemas.
But ekenos is not necessary yet,
right? Right, you could get by without it, yeah. Yeah, you could get by without a kenos.
So what is the translated as these?
Oh, the these is tauta. Poye tauta. These things, tauta. Or these works, tauta ta'erga. Okay, so hokurios hapemsas hemas, or rather we could say, so we've got hokurios, the Lord, and then in what we call an apposition to that, so helping to explain that, hapempsas hemas, the one who sent us, and then ekenos, saying that one, that Lord who sent us, poie tauta ta erga, he does these works, and mesona tuton poie se, and he will do mesona tuton greater than these, hina auton doxatsade, so that you may praise him.
So is that a kenos superfluous?
Yeah. Yeah, you could get by fine without having that in there, a kenos. Okay, section 3. As we've seen, we've got, there are two negators, little particles that negate a phrase or a verb, u and me. And we've seen, for example, that u gets used with indicative, me gets used with subjunctive. So in English, we can ask a question various ways around depending upon what sort of answer you want. We can ask, you can do this, can't you? And the person asking that question expects that the answer will be, yes, I can. Or you can turn the question around saying, you can't do this, can you? And we expect that the answer will be, no, I can't. And then you always get an ambiguity in English if somebody responds to question B by saying yes. You go, well, are you saying yes, I can't do it, or saying yes, I can do it? And some languages then have a, instead of just a yes, a simple yes and a no, they have a separate word to indicate no yes. So in contrast to what you are saying, yes, I can do it. So like French has the word si. So you've got oui and non, and then you have si, which means you can't do this, can you? You say si, meaning, but I can do it. But in English, we don't have that, so you get this ambiguity. Of course, the answer actually given may be quite different, but that does not matter. It's the expected answer that determines the form of the question. So the question is determined by what the questioner is expecting as to how he poses that question. So in Greek, ou, ouk, ouk, and ouki, which are all various forms we've seen. So so ou would be the normal form in front of a just a regular word. Ouk and ouk are in front of a vowel. So whether depending on whether it starts, that vowel has a smooth breathing mark over it or a rough breathing mark over it. And then uki, often that is when you have it standing alone. And the use of this shows that the questioner expects the answer yes. Whereas me and meti usually show that the questioner expects the answer no. So for example, u dunantai ek balain ta daimonia. U dunantai ek balain ta daimonia. Here we have u. So simply put, the question is, they are not able to cast out the demons. But we, and then it has a semicolon indicating this is a question, so we now need to turn around this into a question. Are they not able to cast out the demons? But then we want it to express the nuance that is expecting that really that they are not able to do that. So we can put it, they are able to cast out the demons, aren't they? And we're expecting to get the answer back, yes, they are able to do that. Whereas in B, we have me dunantai ta daimonion ek balain. Me dunantai ta daimonion ek balain. Generally, a similar construction. The differences here are sort of incidental. So we have ta daimonion as a singular instead of ta daimonia, and ek balain as a aorist infinitive instead of the present infinitive. But otherwise, they are not able, if we just had it as a non-question form, they are not able to cast out the demon. Turn that in question. Are they not able to cast out the demon? And now we ask it in a way that we're expecting no to come back as the answer. They're not able to cast out the demon, are they?
So why do you use the aorist in B?
Well, here he's working off of New Testament examples. You could... in example A, he's expecting that they are able to cast out the demons and to carry on casting out the demons. Like in every situation in which there is a demon arises, he's able to cast it out. Whereas being unable to cast out the demon, is viewing that as just this one-time activity. You can't even do it. Can't even do it once. Whereas example A would carry with it the nuance that not only are you able to do it once, but you're able to keep on. They're able to keep on casting out the demons whenever.
That's interesting. Because I read it almost thought it to be the opposite. Like if you're like you have an inability, a continuous, ongoing inability to cast out. Whereas if you actually do cast out, then you can place that actually casting out.
I don't know. This is one of the things you could look up in use accordance for, though, is to use it search
for May and search look for the verb.
Right. Yeah. Look for May and dunamai and an aorist infinitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you could even do it as look for u or May plus dunamai plus infinitive and see what variations come back. All that. Okay, now we get some examples taken straight out of the Gospels and a few other places of how this works. So Luke 4:22, this is I think Jesus in Nazareth, or as Jesus begins his ministry. Uki huios estin Yosef out. Hutos. Uki huyos estin Yosef hutos. So if we just express that as a non-question, just as a regular statement, it would be this one is not the son of Joseph. So hutos at the end there, that's a demonstrative pronoun, this one. Huyas, the son, Yosef, the son of Joseph. Turn that in question. Is not this man Joseph's son? And we're expecting the answer. Uki shows we're expecting the answer back. Yes, he is Joseph's son.
Why is Uki there? He said Uki was standing alone.
Yeah, in that particular case, I don't know why they use uki instead of uch. Don't know. I don't know.
Just in general, what's the difference between uki and say uch?
Meaning-wise, there is no difference at all. I don't know more specifically than that. Where you'd have... don't know. So we want to turn this into a question that expects the answer back. Yes, so isn't this man Joseph's son? Or even surely he's Joseph's son, isn't he? So here then is where you get a bit of the art of translation, how to render that. Luke 23:39, uki sou e ha Christos. Uki sou e ha Christos. So just rendered as a statement, it would be, you are not the Messiah. So now we want to render that as a question that expects the answer, yes. Are you not the Messiah? Expect an answer, yes, I am the Messiah. Or you are the Messiah, aren't you? Mark 14:19, meti ego. Meti ego. This will be, I assume, in the upper room as the disciples are gathered around the table, having their final meal with Jesus. Meti ego. It isn't me. Now we turn that into a question, which expects the answer, no, it isn't me. Meti ego. It isn't me, is it? Or surely it isn't me. Whereas that, if that had been uki, we would render it as it is me, isn't it? Instead of here, it isn't me, is it? John 4:12. Here, Jesus with the woman at the well. Mesu meson e tu patras hemon Jacob. Mesu meson e tu patras hemon Jacob. take the sou meson a tou patros, you are, on its own, that would be, you are greater than our father, understood as our ancestor, our forefather Jacob. We negate that, you are not greater than our forefather Jacob. Now we turn that into a question that expects the answer. No, you are not greater than our forefather Jacob, are you? To which she's obviously expecting the answer, no, I'm not greater than Jacob. But of course she is. Of course he is. So. 1 Corinthians 12:29. Me pantes didaskaloi. Me pantes didaskaloi. So if we have that as a non-question, it would be they are not all teachers. Turn that into a question expecting the answer no. They are not all teachers, are they? To which we're expected to say, no, they're not all teachers. And if he had said, are they, if we'd had it beginning with ooh instead of may, we would have rendered that something like, are they not all teachers? To which we would say, yes, they are all teachers. Okay. And then he notes that in three of these five instances, the RSV, which I don't have access to here, fails to represent the meaning of may properly. sometimes may or meti is used when the questioner is doubtful, perhaps thinking the answer will be no, but hoping it may be yes. So Matthew 12:23, meti hutos estin ha huyos David. Meti hutos estin ha huyos David. If we rendered that just as a straight statement, it would be this one, that's the hutos, demonstrative pronoun, near demonstrative pronoun. This one is not the son of David. Put that into question. Is this one not the son of David? Now, of course, that way, that's expecting an answer yes. Now we want to put it into, we could say this one isn't the son of David, is he? Expecting the answer no, but here Dobson is suggesting that we need to get some sort of element of hope into it, that, and so that I think is what he's expressing by the could he be the son of David? And then John 4:29, again with the woman at the well. Metu hutas estin ha Christos. Metu hutas estin ha Christos. Translated as a straight statement without the question mark, it would be this one is not the Messiah. Put it into a question. This one is not the Messiah. Is he? Which is expecting the answer no, and here adding in an element of hope, hopeful longing, as it were, by putting in could he be the Messiah?
So the difference here, may and may t is the may t not what? Is it the t the what? Or is that neither?
Yeah, the t would be what, but really they're just synonymous. It's just have exactly the same meaning, two different forms. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ukanuki. So one can imagine the translators sitting around the table for a long time trying to render out how exactly do you capture the right nuance in these questions, and then commentators in the technical commentary would spend a bit of time to analyze what exactly is trying to convey by this question. Okay, section 4. Here we get some examples of ou and me in questions. Number 1, ou krine ha theos pantas tous anthropous. Ou krine ha theos pantas tous anthropous. So if we take it firstly without the ou, krine ha theos, that bit would be God will judge all men. Add on the U, God will not judge all men. We now turn it into a question. in such a way that we expect the answer yes. So God will judge all men, won't he? Or we could say, will he not judge all men? Now the krine there is, you couldn't say does he not, you could, does he not judge all men? The krine is future tense. Because of the circumflex. Otherwise it would have a acute accent over the iota. So this is one of those ones we saw on page 153, where the only difference between the present and the future is the accent.
So you told us at the beginning of class the accents didn't matter.
Well, but at this stage here, I said this is one of the few instances where it does matter.
Okay.
Where, so we had the verb meno and krino, and there are these very, very few words where actually it does, it does matter for paying attention to whether it's present or future. So, ukrine hotheos pantas tuth anthropus, asking that as a question where we expect the answer back, yes. God will judge all men, won't he? Or we could say, will not God judge all men? Something like that.
But doesn't the accents weren't in the original text,
right?
Right. So.
Well, there you'd be helped by context and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Who put the accent in?
They were done many centuries later. I don't know. Don't know who was responsible for putting the accents. Right, we wouldn't even have the question. We wouldn't even have the question mark in the original manuscripts.
So the originals had them in?
Even they got added in later than you even get the minuscules,
oh, okay.
The lowercase manuscripts.
So is it that none of these marks were used in any writing at that time?
They didn't even put spaces between the words. And... So if you look at a really old manuscript of the New Testament and you don't know your Greek too well, it's really difficult to read because there's no space between the words. Now, once you could read a paragraph of English with no spaces between the words because you know English well enough to do that. So if you know Greek well enough, you can read a 4th century manuscript. But if you don't know Greek well enough and you don't know your vocabulary and don't know your forms, it's very, very difficult because you're having to go letter by letter and figure out where those are. Yeah. Now, he has a note on page 349, a little word about accents, sort of as part of the reference grammar way at the back, page 349. Noting that the accents were not part of the original New Testament text. They appear only in manuscripts from the 9th century onwards. And then in a few cases, accents distinguish words which would otherwise look the same. And then a few times indicates the tense that a word is in. It is possible to read the New Testament with that. Without knowing anything more about accents. And the first two editions of this book did not have accents in, which is why it's now boldly put on the front cover, third edition with accents. And that was because so many teachers pestered Dobson and asked him to complain about the lack of accents. Okay, number two, uki hutas estin ha prophetes. Uki hutas estin ha prophetes. Without the question in there, it would be, this man is the prophet. So add the question, add the u, add the negator, this man is not the prophet. Now we need to turn it into a question that expects the answer yes. So something like, is not this man the prophet? Well, yes, he is a prophet. Or as Dobson renders it here, this man is the prophet, isn't he? And Then question three now uses Métis instead of uk. So Métis houtas estin ha apostolos. Métis houtas estin ha apostolos. Without the negative, and the question would be houtas est, this one, he is the apostle. Now turning it into a question, expecting the answer no. He is not the apostle, is he? Or he isn't, yeah. Could he be, or if we add in a bit of wishful thinking, could he be the apostle? So notice between number two and three, one of the ways we do it in English, this man is the prophet, isn't he? And he is, this one is not the apostle, is he? So in English, we sort of get it to work by, in the first instance, we put the negative element in the first phrase, sorry, in the second phrase. In the second instance, we put it in the first phrase. So he is the prophet, isn't he? He is not the prophet, is he? And trying to explain that to somebody who's learning English as a second language must be very, very confusing. We just, with our feel for English, we know how that works. Why it works that way, it would be extremely difficult to explain.
It was very difficult for me in the beginning. Because Chinese doesn't work that.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to convey that nuance of the difference between he is not the prophet, is he, and he isn't the prophet, is he.
And the answer yes or no means different.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The reason he translated in two men and three he is just arbitrary.
Yep, yep. Houtas, you can either way is valid. Yep. Number four, uk oidas pu mene. Uk oidas pu mene. Oidas pu mene on its own would be you know where he is staying. Put that into a question, expecting the answer yes. You know where he is staying, don't you? Expected answer, yes, I do know where he is staying.
Is English the only language that has contractions?
Like don't?
Yeah, like
do not contracted to don't?
Yeah.
Well, we've already seen it does have contractions because we have the apostrophes,
yeah.
So we're like with a preposition.
Yeah.
A preposition ending in a vowel and the next word beginning with a vowel,
yeah.
The preposition will lose its last vowel, be replaced by an apostrophe. Number five, three examples here. Me pantes apostoloi. Me pantes apostoloi. So pantes apostoloi, they are all apostles. Put that as a question mark. A question expecting the answer, no, they are not all apostles. Are they? Expect an answer, no, they're not all apostles. Me pantes prophetai. Me pantes prophetai. Again, same thing, they're not all prophets. Are they? Expect an answer, no, they're not all prophets. And me pantes glossais lalusin. Me pantes glossais lalusin. The pantes glossais lalusin would be they all speak in tongues. Here now is a question expecting the answer, no, they do not all speak in tongues, do they? Expected answer, no, they don't all speak in tongues.
So gloss, what form is glossais?
Glossais is that's a noun. It's in the plural, glossa is the nominative, it's a feminine noun. Its dictionary form would be glossa.
So, it's
The subject is in the verb lalusin. They speak.
So they lalusin. Speak. So then it just does it. But glossa is not any kind of object.
It is where it is. It is the object of lalusin.
Not the direct object, but
it Okay, so it's dative. It's what we would call more fully. We would probably call it something like it's an instrumental dative. So it's the instrument with which you are doing the verb. But that's beyond anything we've covered. This is where you're getting onto. So we at the moment just think of, well, the accusative, that's always the direct object. Genitive, so far, we've normally seen is we think of it as being possession. Or then we're beginning to, and then dative we think as being the indirect object. Datives, there are a lot more nuances to dative, one of which is then this instrumental dative. And then also we'll find there's a lot more nuances to genitives. And then accusative, genitive, dative can also all be used with prepositions.
So, like in the first two statements, there's no verb.
Right, there's no verb. We don't need it. You would expect the verb, some form of the verb, eimi, to be. But there's a lot of instances in Greek and in other languages. Hebrew is the same way, where you can get by without the verb to be. And but we then in English have to supply what we say. We supply the verb, and then NASB would be pedantic and put that in italics, which is pedantic. Fortunately, they put it in italics, and you think, oh, it's being emphasized, which is that's just. Failure. It's pedantic. It's.
They don't put it in brackets.
And NASB, no, they put it in italics. Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? The word's
italics. Normally, we see a word in italics. It means the word's emphasized. Okay. Section 5. We have a reading from John 3:8-13. Jesus and Nicodemus. And we're going to get some questions asked here. So page 255. So John 3, verses 8-13. Ta pneuma hapu thele pnei kai ten phonein autu akues. Aluk oidas pothen urketai kai pu hupage. Hutos estin pasha genenemenos ektu pneumatos. Apekrithe nikodemos kai epen auto. Post dunatai tauten genestai. Apikrithe Jesus kai epen auto, su e ha didaskalos tu Israel, kai tauta u genoskes. Amen, amen, lego soi, hoti ha oidamen la lumen, kai ha heorakamen martyrumen, kai ten martyrian hemon u lambanate. Eta epigea, epon humen kai u pestuete, pos hean, Epo humen ta epurania pistusete. Kai udes anabebeken, eis ton uranon, e me ha ek tu uranu katabas, ha huyas tu anthropu. Okay, a few difficult words in there to pronounce. So let's try that all together. Ta pneuma hapu thele pne, kai ten phonein autu akues. Al uk oidas pothen urketai kai pu hupage. Hutos estin pas ha gegenemenos ek tu pneumatos apekrithe nikodemos kai epen auto. Pos dunatai tauta genestai apekrithe Jesus kai epen auto. Su e ha didaskalos to Israel, kai tauta u genoskes, amen, amen, lego soi, hoti ha oidamen lalumen, kai ha heorakamen martyrumen, kai ten martyrian hemon u lambanete, eta epigea, epon humen, kai u pestuete, pos Ean epo humen ta epurania pistusete. Kai udes anabebeken eston uranon e me ha ek tu uranu katabas Hahuyas tu anthropu. Okay, let's try and work our way through that bit by bit with the help of Dobson's notes and the notes at the bottom of the page in the New Testament. Verse 8, Tatnuma hapu thele pne. Yeah, it's hard to pronounce. It's not a combination. P and nu is not a combination we have in. Well, we have it in English, but we just, what we've done is we completely dropped off the P, right, like a pneumatic tire or pneumatology. So tapnuma hapu thele pne, and Dobson tells us pne, it blows. So. Hello, I wish, I desire, I want, yeah.
And what is hapu?
Hapu, it's where, so, yeah, like poo, so, like poo. So the pneuma blows where it wishes, and now you have the problem of how do you translate pneuma, because it means wind and spirit, and so the spirit blows where it wishes, the wind blows where it wishes, and Hebrew has that same range of meanings for its word ruach, spirit and wind. Kai tein phonein autu akues. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you hear its sound or its or its voice, phonein, can I say sound or voice? Okay, and you hear its sound. Al uk oidas pothen urkatai. And so pothen is from where? Whence? So you do not know from where it comes, whence it comes. Kaipu hupage. Or where it goes. Hutos estin pas ha gegenemenos. So this is hutos as opposed to hutos. Hutos. So or thus. Good. Okay, so it'd be something like, thus is thus or such. Thus is everyone born or begotten of the Spirit. Thus is everyone begotten of the Spirit. Apekrithe Nicodemos kai epen auto. Okay, so Nicodemus answered or replied and said to him, post dunatai tauta genesthai. And Dobson tells us genesthai is to happen from the word ginomai, I become, or I happen. Okay, how can this be? How are these things able to happen? Now notice dinatai is third singular, and the subject of it is tauta, which is actually accusative plural. But it's neuter plural, and very often neuter plural will take a singular verb. So it sort of functions as a collective. It will never happen with a masculine plural or a feminine plural, but often with a neuter plural. So these things then get viewed as a single entity, as it were, for the point of the verb that's very frequently. So how is it possible for these things to be? How can these things be? Apikrithe Jesus kai epen auto. So essentially very same statement. Jesus answered and said to him, Su e hod didaskalos to Israel kai tauta u genoskes. Okay, yep. So you are the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things. So we've got u genoskes. You do not know these things. So he's expecting the answer. What answer is he expecting? So he's expecting Nicodemus to say, yes, I do know these things. You do not know these things? Amen, amen, lego soi. Truly, truly, I say to you, hoti, that ha oidamen lalumen kai ha heorakamen marturumen. And you have to look. Verse 16 then tells us heorakamen is from horao, I see, and it's a perfect, which we haven't yet covered. Ho oidamen lalumen. Okay. Ha oidamen, that which we know. So ha there is a relative pronoun, neuter singular. That which we know, we speak. Ha heorakamen, marturumen. Okay, yeah, and what we have seen, we testify, we witness, we bear witness to. Kai ten marturian hemon u lambanete. Okay, and our testimony, you do not receive. Eita epigeia epon humen kai u pistuete. And we're told epigeia means earthly. Here, ta epigeia is neuter plural. Okay, if I have spoken to you earthly things, kai u pistuete, and you do not believe, pos eon epo humenta epurania pistusete. So, how? So this now goes along with the if. So we begin with if this, then how. How, and aeon is a conditional, which we had way, way back. How, if I speak to you, ta operania, heavenly things, pistusete, will you believe? Pistusite is future, yeah. So a sigma at the end of the stem there. Pistusite, will you believe? Apo is, well, we've had apon, which was the aorist, I said. So this is I speak, apo. And in this case, yeah, this is a form I don't think we'll have seen before, because it's be a subjunctive following after aeon. But from lego, so lego, we've seen one of these verbs. It has other stems. Okay, verse 13. Kai udes anabebeken eston uranon. E me ha ectu uranu katabas. Now the anabebeken there, the reader, the New Testament, the footnote 19 tells us it's a perfect from anabino. So we haven't yet covered the perfect tense. That's a perfect, but you do know the verb anabino. And udes?
Nobody.
That's why he tells you, no one. Okay, so udes anabebeken estam uranon. No one has gone up into heaven. So the effect of the perfect tense is it's action that's happened in the past but has ongoing present results. So we often translate with have in English. So no one has gone up. It's happened in the past and he's still up there. No one has gone up into heaven. Eime, so literally is if not, but together they really function as except. Except ha ektu uranu katabas. Katabas, you would recognize that, katabino, with the shortened stem, so the aorist stem. Ha ektu uranu katabas. Okay, yeah, so except ha katabas, the one who has come down. Right, so katabas is an aorist participle, nominative masculine singular with a definite article ha, so the one who has done that action, the one who has come down from heaven. So no one has gone up into heaven except the one who has come down from heaven. Hohuyas tu anthropu, namely the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm. So where do we get it? Where is except?
So eime is sort of, if you take it bit by bit, it's if not. No one has gone up to heaven if not the Son of Man. So, and even we could get by with using that in English, saying, no one has gone up into heaven if not the Son of Man who has come down from heaven. So the if not is there expressing the exception. And so in English, we'd really translate that as except.
So if not,
okay, so which articles go with which?
Yeah.
So the article has to go with a noun that's in the, with a noun word that's in the same case.
Okay, so two, that would go with after the comma.
The two goes with the uranu, to uranu. The ha before it goes with the katabas.
Oh, okay. So the two is kind of saying, okay, the heaven, coming down from the heaven.
Yeah. Okay. Ektu uranu. That's all a little phrase, little prepositional phrase, out of the heaven. And then ha katabas. Ha goes with katabas, the one who has come down, with then the prepositional phrase inserted between that, which is, that's very common in the Greek New Testament. So this is something to be alert for, because you often, you'll get the article and then you won't get the noun attached to it until about six words later, and in the middle you get some prepositional phrase.
But sometimes the article is just all on its own and then it's a who or a
he. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, section B here, we get some Bible translations evaluation. This is the fourth one of these. So Mark 14:19, meti ego. He gave this example on page 155. Now we get it again. Meti ego, it isn't me, is it? Or surely it isn't me. Where the expected answer is no, it isn't you. Different ways in which the English translations have rendered that. Surely not I. New RSV and NIV. That captures it. Surely not I. We would expect, say, he's expecting the answer, no, it's not you. I'm not the one, am I? That's the New Living Translation, Revised English Bible. Surely you don't mean me. Good News Bible, surely you don't mean me, do you? And the New Jerusalem Bible, not me, surely. So they all capture the right flavor, the expected answer. It's obvious that he is expecting the answer, no, it's not you. And this is where Dobson says that the RSV fails to represent the meaning properly. And we don't have an RSV up here. So I can't look up to see what the RSV says. But evidently, by the time of the new RSV, they corrected that and have surely not I, which is fine. It also has the benefit that it's nice and succinct. It's short and to the point. Whereas the Good News Bible, by the time surely you don't mean me, do you? It conveys the same meaning, but takes twice as many, more than twice as many words to do so. John 4:12. Mesu meitzon e tu patras himon Yaakov. Again, an example from a couple of pages before. You are not greater than our ancestor Jacob, are you? Expecting the answer, no, I'm not greater than Jacob. But of course, he is greater than Jacob. New RSV, NIV, and New Living Translation all are similar. Are you greater than our father, ancestor, or ancestor, Jacob? So they just have rendered that as sort of plain vanilla. There isn't a nuance of yes or no in that. That really is put as a neutral question. New Jerusalem Bible, similarly, are you a greater man than our father Jacob? Good News Bible does insert a nuance into it. You don't claim to be greater than our ancestor Jacob, do you? And I think that's answered in the question of expecting, no, I don't. But, of course, Jesus is claiming to be that. So that would be an interesting question to ask somebody on the NIV Translation Committee. So why did you render the question that way and not try and add in the sense of the may here? John 4:29, Meti hutas estin ho Christos. Could he be the Messiah? Expect an answer. Or here's Dobson arguing that there's a sense of this wishful, this hopeful thinking. New RSV, he cannot be the Messiah. Can he? So they've kept going with the standard meaning of Meti. No element of hopeful thinking there. The other translations all do add in that sense of hopeful thinking. NIV, could this be the Christ? REB, could this be the Messiah? NLT, can this be the Messiah? In Good News, could he be the Messiah? And probably the TNIV would be something like, could this be the Messiah? Since TNIV now goes with Messiah instead of Christ for Christos. So that could, then adding in this element of wishful, of hoping. We might almost say, in this case, with Meti, hoping against hope. That would be the idea of that. And then 1 Corinthians 12:29, me pantes apostoloi, me pantes prophetai. They're not all apostles, are they? They're not all prophets, are they? To which the expected answer is, no, they are not all apostles, they are not all prophets. So, new RSV, several of the translations here just leave out that negative completely. Are all apostles or all prophets? And we know well enough in English that the question asked that way expects us to say, no, they're not all apostles, they're not all prophets. So, new RSV, New James Bible, are all of them apostles or all prophets? Revised English Bible, are all apostles, all prophets? Those three all work. Good News Bible, they are not all apostles. They are not all apostles or prophets. It just chose to make that into a statement rather than a question. But given their target audience of the Good News Bible, maybe figure that that its target audience would find the question too finely nuanced to understand it. That essentially is what Paul is saying, but it's not how he nuances it. But Good News Bible, its target audience is a low reading level. And then New Living Translation, is everyone an apostle? Of course not. Is everyone a prophet? No. So they've helped us along. No, I just said the TNIV
right.
Has changed it now. Just like the REB, the NLT, and the Good News do here, they render Christos as Messiah. Okay. And the NIV always rendered it as the Christ, but now the TNIV uses Messiah. Yeah.
So is that a trend that's being set or not?
Don't know if it's a trend, but it'll be a conscious decision on the part of the TNIV Translation Committee.